This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Bill Belichick already has a hashtag. Chapel Bill. Taking over as the head coach of North Carolina. Still kind of sinking in. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And we're pretty split on this. I think Belichick's going to be a big success. And Perloff, you don't see it that way.
I just can't wrap my head around North Carolina football ever being good. It just doesn't compute. I mean, they might be good. They might sneak in with a horrible schedule into the playoff because the committee doesn't care about strength of schedule. But I just don't see him redefining his legacy as like this all-time college football coach.
I don't think he needs to redefine his legacy. I think this is a continuation of the legacy, right? This is someone who won at unprecedented levels on the NFL side, and I don't know if it's going to be as successful in North Carolina just because his age and, you know, how long is he actually going to coach? But I think it's going to be a continuation of the legacy. It's going to continue to cement that Belichick is the greatest coach of all time because I think he's going to have success on this level.
Gosh, if I could write the script, I would want him to go to a team that was ready to win the NFL and see what he could do. Like, give him those defensive players in Dallas and see what he could do. That would have been what I, as a fan, would have preferred to see instead of, this is going to be definitely more interesting. But, I mean, at the end of the day, is a 9-3 North Carolina team going to change the way my football season goes down? No.
Well, let's get the thoughts of someone who's doing reporting on this story and someone who's covered Bill Belichick for a long time, and that's Jeff Howe. He's an NFL national insider for The Athletic and is based in Boston and has been covering the Pats for a long, long time. Jeff, good morning. Thanks for waking up for us, and thanks for the time today.
Hey, of course. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Okay, actually, let's start on the NFL side of this with Bill Belichick taking the job at North Carolina. Perloff just asked the question, or just said he'd rather see Belichick still in the NFL. Do you think those opportunities were going to be there for Belichick this hiring cycle?
No, it was going to be a long shot. And kind of reporting on this story over the last few days, especially when it became pretty obvious that the two sides were going to reach some sort of agreement, I turned my attention toward the NFL and tried to figure out, you know, is this Belichick saying, okay, I'm done with the NFL? Or is this more of the NFL saying they were done with Belichick? And I thought after last hiring cycle, just speaking to the teams that had vacancies, there wasn't a lot of interest in Belichick. And it's for a lot of the obvious reasons, you know, the way things ended in New England. But it was, the Falcons were one of seven, excluding the Patriots last year, that had vacancies and still wanted to talk to him. And it did not get very far. It didn't get as far as I think people wanted to believe. So then kind of fast forward to this upcoming hiring cycle. I was told by one team with a vacancy that they flat out were not going to consider going after Belichick. You know, the Jets are a team with a vacancy, and there's a long history there that made it pretty obvious that that was never going to be a fit. So, and then I checked into teams that had potential vacancies, you know, the teams that could fire their coaches, and they weren't. If Belichick was going to be considered by those teams, there was going to be some pushback in the building. So Bill is smart enough to put out some feelers. He wanted to get a sense for what his market would be next month once there are even more openings than there are now. And I think he made a calculated assessment that it was going to be a long shot at best that he was going to get a job, and that's why he pivoted to college.
Jeff, why would NFL teams not want to hire Bill Belichick?
Well, the first thing that they kind of look at is the record without Tom Brady down the stretch, and not just moving on from Tom Brady, which is a sin in itself in New England, but being unable to find a suitable replacement. You know, they went the budget route in 2020 with Cam Newton. That had a shelf life. Mac Jones had a pretty solid rookie season in 21 after he beat out Cam Newton, but then the failure to develop him from there, including the decision to put Matt Patricia as offensive coordinator, the lack of support around him, and then you look at the way the relationship between Belichick and Mac Jones deteriorated so publicly and so dramatically, especially in that second season, their third season together, the second season after 21, of course. So that thing fell apart, and it raised a lot of concerns about the culture that Belichick is able to build with his old school style. And, you know, I bring this stuff up a lot, or I have over the last year. You get people who are, you know, people who grew up watching what 80s, 90s, even early 2000s football and say, oh, well, these guys should be able to take this hard coaching. You know what? At some point, you just have to accept the fact that modern-day players have changed, and they want a coach who can relate to them and who can empower them and make them feel like they are an equal part of the operation, whereas, you know, that's not really the case with Belichick. So when you're not winning, and, you know, when the Patriots were winning, and I covered their last three Super Bowl teams and the second half of that dynasty, Belichick doesn't make any – he doesn't hide from the fact that he's not an easy person to work for. But these guys would show up every day knowing, yeah, it's work might suck today and it's probably going to suck tomorrow, but at the end of January, we're going to be in the AFC Championship if our season goes poorly. And the chance to win a Super Bowl, like, that carrot was always there. But when you're not going to win and it's hard to go to work every day, you start to see the culture kind of backslide. You look at the recent draft results that the Patriots had. They weren't good. Even the fundamentals and the discipline had kind of waned in his last two, three seasons with the Patriots. So there were a lot of reasons to look at and say, oh, and then, you know, you look at the power aspect. And Belichick wants to wield a lot of power. And it's just... that model really is not that doesn't exist in the NFL. Somebody close to Belichick told me for the story I wrote today, the Patriots, during his time there with all the power that he gained over his 24 seasons, the Patriots were a unicorn, and he can't really necessarily expect that to happen somewhere else. So, you know, there's just a lot of stuff that goes into it. And then you factor in, okay, he's turning 73 in April. So even if this whole thing... like, even if they if a team hires him and he's able to prove all of those doubts wrong, you still really only have him for, like, maybe 3 years.
Jeff Howe is joining us. He's an NFL insider for The Athletic. Got a piece up now, has been doing reporting on the story, and the piece now, Why Bill Belichick Abandoned Hope of Landing an NFL Job in the Pursuit of the Wins Record, of which he is 14 shy of Don Shula. You know, Jeff, you cover the Patriots and Belichick and the entire NFL. How much of the band is Belichick going to put together here to go down to North Carolina? We saw Michael Lombardi is going to be the general manager. They were together in New England. Do we just see Patriots South?
I think that was going to be the case if Belichick got an NFL job. But since he didn't, I don't want to waste any more time on that. There's clearly going to be some crossover, and I'm fascinated to see what the balance of this staff looks like, because, yeah, it's easy to look at Steve Belichick and Michael Lombardi, and I'm sure we're going to recognize some of the other names. You know, I wouldn't be totally shocked if Matt Patricia is somehow involved. I'm not sure it's going to be, you know, Josh McDaniels, an offensive coordinator. I'm really, really interested to see what the offensive coordinator decision looks like. But, you know, how many – he's got a lot of friends in the college game, and you just wonder how many of those guys are going to volunteer, former staff members or rising staff members to Belichick. I'm very curious to see how the staff is going to shake out because, yeah, there's going to be some overlap. Steve Belichick, I would imagine, is going to bring some allies, and it wouldn't be like the total Patriots self that you would have seen, or Patriots directional that you would have seen if Belichick got an NFL job. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of overlap because, you know, he's always wanted to work with people he's close to, but that was even more apparent over the last 10 years and certainly over the last like five.
Jeff, how do you expect Bill Belichick to do at North Carolina?
I think he's going to do well because at the root of it all, I mean, he's going to North Carolina because he wants to coach. And, you know, I spent, you know, so much time saying why it's not going to happen in the NFL. But, like, at the end of the day, he just wants to coach. And he's still an elite teacher. And he cares about the game. He is going to care that he's leaving an impact on these kids that he's teaching. Obviously, there's going to be some adjustment periods. I mean, I think as Belichick saw over the last 3 or 4 days, even negotiating a contract in college is a lot more different than it is in the NFL. So there's going to be that stuff. He's going to have to figure out the NIL landscape and all that. I mean, that's going to be a massive hurdle. The transfer portal, I mean, there's a reason why the college game is not for everybody anymore, why you're seeing a lot of guys jump back into the NFL or into the NFL at a quote-unquote lesser job because, you know, they're just not built for the 12-month cycle of not just game planning, but then transfers and NIL and all that other stuff. So, I mean, that's all going to be really fascinating because it's not necessarily Belichick's strong suit, you know, the off-field pitches and the marketing and that. But when it comes to just teaching these kids how to play football, I'd expect them to be a fundamentally sound team in a conference that is attainable.
Jeff Howe is joining us. He's an NFL national insider for The Athletic, writing about Bill Belichick now with his move to North Carolina. You can read about it on The Athletic. He's been doing a lot of reporting around this as well. And Jeff, I guess maybe my last question to you would be this. You know, is Belichick possibly, let me put it this way, is there a danger that he could hurt his legacy with this move? And I would have never thought that until I heard you talking about, you know, the idea that Belichick couldn't develop Mac Jones. And it's weird because, all right, they couldn't develop Mac Jones. He developed Tom Brady. And because Tom Brady now went on to be the GOAT and win without him, it almost seems like the beginning of their relationship never happened. It was just all about the end of the relationship, which I always find curious that so many people blame Belichick. Nobody blame Mac Jones. Maybe he's just not that good. You know, that could be the answer too. Is there possible that Belichick, who's kind of, I guess, on a downswing right now, could hurt his legacy if things don't work out at North Carolina?
I don't think so. You know, you touched on, like, we could be here for the next 3 days if you wanted to really dive into some of those topics. But, like, I'm glad you mentioned the fact that, you know, he developed Tom Brady. I mean, the plan in the early 2000s was play elite defense, which the Patriots did, have a great running game and a creative offense, and, you know, just allow Tom Brady to just manage situations when those situations came up, and he did an unbelievable job. I mean, they won a Super Bowl his first season as starter, but, you know, Tom Brady wasn't this generational passing icon, I guess, that you started to see in 2007 for his first several years. I mean, their first three Super Bowls, they were a defensive and run-based team. And a lot of those principles, you know, it's a passing league now. A lot of those principles would still apply to today's game, as you can see with the Eagles and the Lions and teams like that. But, you know, not to get too far down that rabbit hole, but, you know, not developing Mac Jones was, there was a lot that went into that. And no, Mac is not completely innocent in this whole process either. There's certainly some things that he could have done better. But the situation around him wasn't conducive to success for any quarterback, in my opinion. Just, again, I could get a whole lot more into it, but you're going to have to take my word for it on that. With North Carolina and his legacy, no, I really don't think so. I mean, I think, like, if there's a massive scandal or something, like if he goes out unceremoniously, yeah, that would be a tough one to handle, I guess. But I think he's going to go down there and he's going to show a different side of his football personality. Just the fact that it's more about the pureness of the game and the teaching aspect, and I think he's going to be great at that. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and predict North Carolina is going to win 10 plus games every season he's on the sideline or anything like that. But again, I do think that there is a path to playing above 500 football for as long as he's on that sideline.
One quick non-Belichick question, if you'll permit me. You wrote that Michael Penix is playing well in practice. When are we going to see Penix in Atlanta, Jeff? Let's talk NFL for 1 second. I need to see that happen. Forget Belichick. Give me a star young rookie quarterback.
Yeah, it's probably getting close. That's a complicated decision, though. That's, you know, that's why the guys in those situations or the guys in those seats get paid a whole lot more money. That's because it's hard. You know, you look at Kirk Cousins, and he's coming off the Achilles, and he's certainly not anywhere close to healthy. And if you bench him, the earlier you bench him, like if you did it this week or next week while they're still in the playoff race with the Buccaneers, there's the possibility that that relationship blows up and you are forced to move him this offseason. That becomes a little bit more tricky because he has a no-trade clause, and you really don't want to tick off a quarterback with a no-trade clause. So there's that element. But if he continues to not play well, I can't remember the touch. It might be like zero touchdowns and eight interceptions in the last four games or whatever it is, something close to that. I mean, if that doesn't improve and they lose the next two and the playoffs become far more unrealistic, then I think you can stomach a move to Penix. But then there's even some complications there. I mean, even if Penix only plays, let's say, one or two games, but he plays really well in those games, the Falcons fan base is going to have, like, no patience for Kirk Cousins struggling at the start of next season, and that makes things a lot more difficult. That's when the distractions can creep into the locker room. So this isn't a decision that can be made in a vacuum. Now, look, if they're looking at Penix and thinking he's as good as I'm being told that he's playing in practice, and you're confident that's going to translate onto the field, then you know what? You can deal with all the repercussions of trying to move Kirk Cousins this offseason, because if you've got your guy and he's young and he's cheap and you want to get him onto the field as quickly as possible. But, you know, there is always this seed of doubt. I've talked to, I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to a coach or an executive who's been like, yeah, this quarterback looks really good in practice, but we frankly have no idea how he's going to perform in the game, because you just can't replicate a lot of those situations. You don't always know how to predict how a player is going to handle to stress and adjustments and all that other stuff. So there's a lot that goes into a decision like this.
Jeff, can't tell you how much we appreciate it. He's got a piece up now, been doing a lot of reporting on the Bill Belichick news, the big news. Bill Belichick going to North Carolina. Jeff is an NFL national insider for The Athletic. Jeff, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks a lot for having me, guys. Have a good one.
You too. You're obsessed with Penix.
Well, Jeff was the first one to report that he's playing really well. Oh, there you go. playing really well in practice. I had not heard of that. Remember, Michael Penix is 27 years old. I'm just kidding. He's 24. But it's not like he's some young kid. That's why Atlanta drafting him in the first place was so crazy. He's old. Get him on the field.
We thought that he was the most NFL ready, if you will. Like, right. He could actually step onto a field and play right away. Meanwhile, that looks like Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix were pretty NFL
ready,
too.
Well, Bo Nix is kind of old, too. Yeah. Which, actually, if you want to circle back to Bill Belichick, he's got to get his Bo Nix and his Michael Penix. He needs to focus on getting that good quarterback. You mentioned, a Tom Brady clone or somebody. That's all the transfer portal stuff. The first most important thing is who's a UNC quarterback, right? I assume they need a new quarterback. I don't know who's on the roster.
Well, it's not Drake May, who actually, remember, Belichick was critical of the night of the draft. You guys remember that?
Yeah, that hasn't really panned out for Bill.
Forget that. I still think he'll be successful at North Carolina. 855-212-4227. All right, lots more to do, including crazy news story that we have an update for you. And it got a little scary and a little dicey for a second, but I think everything's going to be okay. We'll get to that next.
We're back on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Big thanks to The Athletic's Jeff Howe coming on to talk Bill Belichick. He said something, Maggie, that both you and I raised an eyebrow at, that the NFL viewed Belichick skeptically because he could not win without Tom Brady and kind of failed with Mac Jones and failed with Cam Newton. I understand that as a talking point on a sports talk radio show, but if you're an NFL owner, is that really such a big deal where they actually think Tom was the key?
I find that very interesting. And I'll find it even more interesting if Brian Flores gets hired in this cycle, which, by the way, I think Brian Flores should get hired in this cycle. But the former Dolphins head coach, who is now the Vikings defensive coordinator and doing such a good job, Tua basically aired him out earlier this season, right? Saying that he didn't develop him and he was shot his confidence and all of that stuff. But if Brian Flores can get another job, well, he failed with Tua, but Bill Belichick can't get another job because he failed with Mac Jones. That just doesn't make any sense to me. And obviously Flores is a Belichick disciple, but you know what I'm saying? We're going to see other coaches get hired who probably have a failed quarterback on their resume or two because drafting is so inexact.
Well, you asked him a question about, Belichick did develop Tom Brady. And I actually paused and said, well, did Belichick develop Tom Brady or was Tom Brady just awesome? I think that's the clear question here. Was Belichick the key to Brady being that good, or was Brady the key to Belichick being that good?
I don't think we were asking that long until Brady went to Tampa.
Until he won that one in Tampa.
Okay, but he was 40 when he won that one in Tampa. He's a totally different person, player, athlete. Like, I think even Brady would tell you that how many times he said, if I went to Arizona, I wouldn't have nearly the success.
But if Bill Belichick had Drew Bledsoe all along, would he have won all those Super Bowls? I don't know. Maybe Tom Brady, at least it's a debate. And I understand, I also, let's be honest, owners don't want to hire a 72-year-old coach. They want a guy who's going to be there they can build around. Everyone, that's why Sean McVay acolytes keep getting hired.
Yeah, I think there's two other things. I do think Robert Kraft poisoned the water a bit by telling the other owners that Bill was a pain in the butt. I do think that's a thing. There's a lot of vying for who gets credit for the dynasty, and Robert Kraft certainly wants his fair share. And I think there's another part of it, which is Bill, in retrospect, was going to have to go to an NFL team that not only had a coaching opening, but a GM opening. And I think those two places would have been Jacksonville and maybe the Giants if things had gone a little differently. And I don't think the Giants are actually getting rid of the Dable and Shane. And then for Jacksonville, I was thinking this one when Jeff was talking to us. Jacksonville seemed like the perfect spot, right? You fire Trent Baalke, you fire Doug Peterson, you bring in Belichick. Our pal Tony Khan is down there. They have a way they like to do things, whether it's with the GM or not. I still don't know if anyone wants to get pushed aside so that Belichick can come in with his way.
I listened to the NFL Network's Peter Schrager broke down the Jacksonville situation. He said he thinks Trent Baalke's safe. Oof. And he said also, I did not know this, and I would love to see this play out, that Tony Khan and Bill Belichick are actually pretty tight.
Oh, are they?
Can you imagine those? And they seem quite opposite. Tony's young, enthusiastic, loves pro wrestling. Can you imagine Bill Belichick coming to an AEW event? But the fact that this was Peter's theory, that the fact that Jacksonville wasn't interested, that was like a surefire thing, maybe was a signal to Belichick too. Like what you're saying, if that's not going to work out.
Yeah.
But then again, Baalke might be back there. So that would kind of change that dynamic. I don't understand why, but I think Joe Shane and Dable will be back in New York.
Yeah, I think they're going to be back too. And I bet that was probably tough to take for Belichick. You know, you're so close to the organization. You won two titles as the defensive coordinator. He probably thought John Mara would say, come on home, Bill. I bet he did think that. And that might have been a rude awakening for Belichick too.
Yeah, and then, of course, the Dallas floating out there too. It doesn't seem at the end of the day Jerry would put his ego to the side for Belichick.
Definitely not. Our pal Big Friendly, no ego here. Big Friendly, every time you call now, I'm going to picture you in the sweater, in the too tight sweater, in the photo that you sent to us. It's a thing of beauty. It's a work of art.
Magsy, you're a married woman. Some things you should keep to yourself, but I appreciate it.
It's the background on my phone.
Malone. Yeah, Magsy Malone, EJ the EP, Manny the man, the one, the only, Daddy Cool, and last but not least, 411. Thank you for taking my call.
What's on your mind today, Big Friendly?
So real quick, can we discuss this Rams-Niner game real quick? And let's discuss the rosters. When the Rams played the Niners last time, we were down Avila, Jackson, Havenstein, Cup, Puka, Darren Williams, and another safety and DB and a linebacker. The Rams are healthy. I don't want to beat a dead horse because the Rams beat Buffalo good enough. But if the Rams didn't show people what they're capable of doing healthy, then what are we talking about?
You're the healthier team now, that's for sure. And I'm going to let that Buffalo Bills crack slide because to the winner goes the spoils.
Magsy,
you're right.
Magsy, there's one point about that Rams-Bills game I think you're forgetting.
What's that?
The bet we had.
Uh-oh.
I didn't forget that.
I did. What is it?
Okay, that's why I said take your time, Magsy, because I can't wait to see you rammed up on a show, but I think you may want to do it before the playoffs. You don't want to jinx those guys in Orchard Park.
Tell me what the bet is. I have no memory of anything that happened more than 10 minutes ago.
So me and Magsy made a bet that if the Rams would lose, since I do public work, I go to hospitals and dialysis centers, I would have my daughter spray paint the Buffalo Bills on my face, and I would go around the day wearing that. If the Rams won, Magsy would have to put the Rams on her face, but she said that she would come all rammed up because you guys have a lot of Rams apparel or something like that.
Yeah, we have our big Rams necklace, and we've got
the
other Rams things. Yes, I will wear Rams colors on my face, and I will wear the Rams necklace.
That's why I love you guys. I've had everybody hit me up about, Bobby, that picture, why could you do that? And I tell people, if you can't make fun of yourself, who can't you make fun of? And real quick, EJ, the reason why I put a shirt on, man, why would I give away OnlyFans content for free?
Fair question, Dave.
Hey, you
good
guys
point.
Have a great day, and thank you for taking my call. Daddy Cool, you are the man. Don't let nobody tell you no different. You guys have a great day.
Wait, who's telling you different? me.
Oh, sorry.
The Rams offensive line, I love Avila Jackson Havenstein. They represented me in a car accident 3 years ago. Isn't that great?
Call them. They get nothing unless
Avila
you win money.
Avila Jackson Havenstein. Yeah, because we watch sports cable. All there are basically lawyer commercials on ESPN. It's basically going from lawyer commercial to some sort of weird drug.
No, if you have a lawyer commercial, though, and we'll get to what Big Friendly said about the Rams, you have to have a creative jingle. Like, your phone number has to be in some sing-songy manner that even if I just got an awful concussion from a car accident, I'll still remember. Whatever it is, I've got to have that jingle in my head of because if I just like basically lost my leg in a construction accident, I still have to understand what's the jingle. How do I call these
people?
I like that.
In New York, some of the lawyer commercials look like, wait, is this the lawyer or the criminal who's representing me? He's like, you have to be a tough guy lawyer. He's like, yes, we will threaten the jury with violence if you get in front of us.
You're so right. There is in New York, there's a local one. I'm not going to say who it is, but their tagline is bite back.
Yes. No, you have to be a tough guy.
Wait, what? Yeah. I just want to win some money because I slipped and fell outside of a library.
There's another lawyer where their logo or for some reason like a bunch of pit bulls jump out at the screen. I'm not kidding. Like, we're the pit bulls. We're the untethered, violent dogs in the situation. Yeah, no, it's bizarre.
If you get bit by a pit bull, call us, the Pit Bull Law Firm.
I've noticed there's and then there's the drug commercials, which everybody's got to stand up and see all the drug commercials.
That's always because the side effects are insane. And also, don't take this drug if you're allergic to this drug, which you always think is hilarious.
Yes, I did notice, and I got to track this during, it might be, it's Amazon, so I don't know if they run these, but there's one, there's some, it might be for a skin disease or something, where there's like a kind of a model-y looking woman walking around town. She's like my, and all they do is just show her, like, it's basically just male entertainment for 10 minutes. Do you guys know the commercial I'm talking about?
Like,
you'll notice it.
Eczema.
It's starting to play a lot.
Huh.
Yeah, eczema.
That's what's going
eczema
on.
Eczema and tight-fitting clothes. I'm like, that is not like, I've had eczema. I did not look like that. Well, you guys will see this commercial. You'll see this commercial. It's a woman with blonde hair, and it doesn't look like she's ever had a skin problem in her life. It looks like she's a model. Watch this.
Get back to your tight-fitting clothes.
Yeah.
Wait, Manny, you just put in the chat, Spanish lawyer commercials are better. Can you give us an example? Example of that? Step on up to the mic. I'm telling you, you need something like memorable. What did you just say?
The name of the lawyer, Ginarte. G-I-N-A-R-T-E.
Ginarte.
What's the pitch? Like, what else? Then what do they say?
Oh, I don't know. Something about if you need papers, call them or something like that.
Oh, it's immigration. Oh, I thought it was still accidents.
I'm sure those exist too.
No, you gotta have good immigration lawyer. Are there also beautiful women in those commercials?
No, you can't.
No,
have
just
that.
Chunky Latino dudes.
Backing away from the microphone.
Is that your brother, Manny?
Yes, actually. Let's get this guy. I know what to get him for Christmas now. I might get him a gym membership.
Manny roasts his brother
over a mustache.
I know, because now he's saying he's got a tummy because Manny's brother made Manny shave his mustache for his brother's wedding. Now it's civil war.
Well, the civil war started years and years ago, but this was the tip of the iceberg.
And he learned that yesterday, by the way, in the textbook. Same textbook that had Peyton Manning finishing runner-up in the Heisman in 97.
What does the civil war speak of?
You mean the Marvel movie, Civil War.
Yes, right, of course. Yeah,
Oregon State Civil War.
Yeah, for Manny, all of human history started in the year 2000. Bogish has headlines for us. Hey, Bogus.
These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. In a likely preview of their spring, the Knicks came up short in a do-or-die game last night, wasting an early 12-point lead on the Hawks, losing their NBA Cup quarterfinal at home.
Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks have broken the hearts of these Knicks fans again. Why don't they start yelling at Trae now? Go ahead. Trae is kneeling down, dribbling. Now they're booing him. Maybe he's going to take a bow again. That's down to 1 second. The horn sounds, and that's it. And the Atlanta Hawks have come into New York, and they beat the Knicks. And now it's an all-expenses-paid trip to Las Vegas, Nevada.
I want to be Steve Holman when I grow up. The 108-100 final puts the Hawks alongside the Bucks in the first of Saturday's semifinals in Vegas. Trae Young, 22 points, 11 assists last night. Jalen Johnson hitting 21 points, 15 boards, and 7 assists. Last night's second quarterfinal, by the way, had all the drama.
Curry with Brooks on him. Left-hand dribble. Step back, straight on three, up, back iron, miss, rebound loose, Van Vliet and Payton, and the ball is still loose.
Time
and
out.
It's grabbed. Call a timeout, please, with 3 seconds left. We have a foul first. A foul has been called.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Bill Kennedy's going to call a foul.
That's Rockets Radio. The foul was on Golden State, leading to Jalen Green's go-ahead free throws with 3.5 seconds left. Steve Kerr can't believe that's how his team lost 91-90.
I'm pissed off. I wanted to go to Las Vegas. We wanted to win this cup. And, you know, we aren't going because of a loose ball foul 80 feet from the basket with the game on the line. I've never seen anything like it in my life, and that was ridiculous.
That's not the only reason why they're not going. That was a bad call, but there's some problems with this Warriors team.
The Rockets and Thunder meet in Vegas on Saturday night. We have now heard from Joe Burrow about the burglary at his house while he was in Dallas for Monday Night Football.
Everybody has heard what has happened. I feel like my privacy has been violated in more ways than one, and way more is already out there than I would want out there and that I care to share. So that's all I got to say about that.
Burrow adding the lack of privacy might be his least favorite thing about being Joe Burrow.
That has been difficult for me to deal with my entire career. Still learning, but I understand it's the life that we choose. Doesn't make it any easier to deal with.
This all because the woman who called 911 the other night is semi-famous, and whatever relationship she and Burrow have was not for public consumption.
Although, Prof, you thought that you saw them together at Paris Fashion Week.
I wasn't at Paris Fashion Week.
No. Did Belichick's girlfriend tell you about this?
I read all this on Sports Gossip site. They were linked together. So his supposed fiance has not Instagrammed about him since January 31st. I have the exact date. So they're obviously done. So she was apparently seen with him, according to Sports Gossip, at the Paris Fashion Week
the
in July.
Girl.
Yeah, Olivia Panton has been linked to him since July. But then he was also linked to an OnlyFans person, according to the websites, named Babyface or Doll
Baby
Face.
Doll.
Baby Doll. Oh, like you know her.
No, you said it yesterday.
Oh, yeah, anyway.
My memory remember. Is slightly better than yours.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I just don't know what to make of it. But he sounded really emotional there. I felt like he was about to cry.
Yeah, he's pissed. I mean, we were, I guess, lightheartedly at the beginning, like, oh, this is how he just got outed for having something on the side. But this might not be, that's not the case. It appears it's just that he was having there's some connection with the two of them that we're not supposed to know about yet.
But if you watch
which
Bengals
is their decision.
Game, right, you watch a Bengals game, there's no shots to a fiance on the sideline. So it's not like, it's very plausible that marriage wasn't happening.
Yeah, but also the only girlfriend shot we get these days is Taylor Swift. Like, they're not cutting to.
Oh, do you guys not remember we got Jake Browning's girlfriend?
He's got the kicker. The
she's a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader.
Right. I mean, playing against her while she's performing. Like, that one you had to show. But not just randomly by default getting everyone's girlfriends on camera.
You guys are forgetting Jake Browning's girlfriend
got
a lot of airtime.
No, I remember that.
I'm about to Google Jake Browning's girlfriend after I just Googled hot woman in psoriasis commercial.
Also linked to Burrow. Here's the thing about Burrow. You obviously feel terrible anytime someone gets their house broken into, and thank goodness no one was home at the time, and, you know, everyone's going to be fine. you know, at first I'm like, well, Joe, you're a famous person, which he's acknowledging. But then I started thinking about it. It is kind of weird that we release these 911 calls. And I'm a public's right to know person, and I want more transparency. But for something like this, because the weird thing that the eyebrow raising thing that she said was, I'm an employee. Like, this is my house, but I'm an employee of Joe Burrow.
Yeah, she said it's my house on the call. She told police after the fact that she works for him.
Okay, so there's like some things there that you're just like, huh? And it makes it a little more interesting, salacious. You start connecting dots, whatever. But it is a little weird that we release 911 calls. Do we have to do that? Some are harrowing, too, and they can be gut-wrenching. Is there a public, is there any reason why we need to hear these?
I mean, some we probably should, but like Tyreek Hill, for example. This doesn't sound like one we need to
have. Are you
talking
about Tyreek Hill, what happened in Miami with the traffic stop, or what happened with his girlfriend?
I mean, literally anything with Tyreek Hill, to be honest. I was talking about the traffic stop, but yes, anything. Yeah. Like, you know, like there are things where there's a public interest because of larger issues, perhaps.
Right, well, the girlfriend said, I'm afraid he's going
to
kill me.
Or really dangerous issues where, like, maybe we need to know and what happened, whatever. But, like, yeah, I mean, we got to blame TMZ, right? Like, you know, we know the deal. Like, they pay for people to give them police calls. So that's the era that we're in. It's not great, but, you know, this is kind of a double-edged sword, right? Because then we do get to see things that maybe we would not have seen or heard, like 20 years ago.
Right, if you change the rules, like, then you're going to miss some important things.
Absolutely.
So,
that's
so another you can
I'm
do.
I'm wrestling with this, right? Because I get it for Joe Burrow, though, this is a victimless well, he's the victim, but there was no one was hurt. You're not revealing anything except for this private information. But again, slippery slope, because I'm glad we got that Tyreek Hill one, because you get a little more of the traffic stop situation, what happened, and then his domestic violence stuff. I want to hear that, too, to see what kind of person we're propping up in our industry.
And I totally get where Joe Burrow's coming from completely. I do feel like moving forward, though, I'm not trying to see a Joe Burrow and Olivia photo shoot in 3 years. Like, you can't be the guy that's like, my life is private. Don't tell me anything. I don't want to know anything. And then, like, all right, let me get some money, get some fame, get some stuff.
Or she's got a jumpsuit line.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that for some fans, there is that kind of like, all right, guy. Like, yes, we know this is private, and let's keep it that way. That's the energy you're on.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. Joe Burrow's got a lot of competition in that quarterback room, because Jake Browning's girlfriend is quite attractive.
I remember.
She wore the all-white Bengals suit. I do remember this now. Yes.
Yes.
It's good to be a backup quarterback. I'm sorry. It was a very serious conversation you guys were having.
But you told me to. But more importantly,
you told me to Google Jake Browning's girlfriend. What was I supposed to do?
I know the outfit you're talking about, too. It was memorable.
Yeah.
Listen, if you got it, fun.
Well, yeah, but you never saw Joe Burrow's fiance, so it is easy to imagine that he was single. I mean, he's not married, so what's a crime? I think maybe he's overreacting a little bit, so he was caught with a swimsuit model?
No, I mean, I think it's fair to be pissed at, like, things that you were trying to keep to yourself for now or out there before you're, like, whatever you're waiting to announce, it's your decision to wait to announce it.
I think he was also shaken by the burglary.
Absolutely.
I'll bet you he's in a very emotional state. That's terrifying.
No, to find out someone was going through your things, and the fact that it also feels pretty coordinated. Mahomes, Kelsey, Bobby Portis, all these prominent athletes in the Midwest, feels a little like Aaron Rodgers says there are no coincidences.
Yeah, did you see Tua came out on his press conference and said, my guard has a gun, so be careful. Like,
he said that?
Yeah. It's like athletes are scared. They should be, too. You're big public figures, and you never know what kind of crazy people are out there.
No, I get that, but that, you know, there was a famous incident here. I know we got to go to break, but where guys take guns into nightclubs and stuff like that, and Plaxico Burress has one in the band of his sweatpants and shoots himself in the foot.
Yeah, I mean, that was the sweatpants were the problem there.
They saw a suicide, right, with the house.
That's what they're saying.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
855-212-4227.
Interesting. Bogish, thanks for bringing that to our attention this morning. We've got so much for you, including a resolution. Kumbaya moment yesterday in the NFL. We'll tell you about it next.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make sure your ride is more enjoyable. Back on Maggie and Perloff. God, we went a little off the rails there in the last segment. We're talking about actually a real serious issue, privacy and athletes. And then we got into girlfriends.
Don't we always? It always comes down to the wags, wags and girlfriends.
Me and Andrew Bogus had an idea that what if Joe Burrow, a woman that he, you know, what if there was like a C that he got caught with in his house instead of a swimsuit model? Would he be even more upset
this
right now?
This is what you guys were workshopping in the break.
Yeah.
That if, okay, so Joe Burrow's house got broken into when he was playing in Dallas on Monday night, and it's, you know, thankfully no one's hurt, nothing like that, but the woman who called the police is a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model and an influencer. So you got, and Joe Burrow came out yesterday and was very upset about his privacy being invaded and all that.
But at least a swimsuit model was there.
So you think this helped the street cred, as if Joe Burrow would be dating someone like a non-swimsuit model? I mean, the swimsuit model being at the house is the most, is the least newsworthy part of this, right?
Yeah,
I
guess so.
Who do you think he's dating?
I mean, it is Cincinnati, though.
Who cares?
But what did that mean?
I mean, most like to live on the coast, no?
Oh, I am. By the way, I got in trouble for this before, EJ, when I said the women in Buffalo were not attractive enough to get free agents.
Yeah, I don't know why you
there.
Said that.
Well, you just said the same thing about Cincinnati.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if you're someone who's working in like a modeling industry, wouldn't you want to live in New York or L.A.?
Guys, there's planes. It doesn't mean she's like, you can't leave the county.
Well, I'm
she's
actually,
with Joe Burrow now, so she got the bread. So I get it now. I'm just saying that would be a reason why I would think maybe no.
I find it interesting if she is not the girlfriend. Like, she's just hanging out in Cincinnati when he's in Dallas. I thought that was weird.
Well, he's not in Dallas for 6 months. It's not a sabbatical. He's playing a Monday Night Football game. You're there for about 24 hours.
It's clearly like a serious relationship. She lives there.
Yeah.
So.
Or does she? Is she an employee?
Well, that's what she said. 855-212-4227. Rob's in San Mateo, California, home of Thomas Edward Brady. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Maggie. Hey, Burloff. How you guys doing today?
We're EJ. Great. What's up?
Oh, nothing much. What I think might be an unpopular take is, getting robbed, that sucks. You know, no one likes that. But whenever I hear a celebrity talking about, I just need people to respect my privacy, this and that, blah, 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 I can't stand it, because, you know, that's the trade-off that you made when you decided to be rich and famous. There are plenty of jobs that you can do if you wanted to be just rich and have no one know who you are. Go be a finance bro and make tons of money. That's great. But as a society, you can't be the face of the Cincinnati Bengals and cry because people want to know more about you. I'm sorry. That's the trade-off you made.
Yeah,
so,
Rob, I mean, obviously he doesn't deserve to get his house broken into, right? Like, that is a real violation.
I admit that. I said that part sucks.
Right.
That's not fair. But my thing is, he got mad because he got caught with another woman, with his side chick. And now he's over there talking about, my privacy. No, bro, you got caught. That's all it is. So I don't feel sorry for him, because he can afford to hire better security. He can afford to do all these things that none of the rest of us that can do to make his life that much safer if he's really that scared. So I don't know. I have a hard time feeling
sympathy
for a guy that got, a couple $100 billion 2 years ago.
Yeah. So, Rob, thank you for your perspective. Just one quick clear thing. We think that it's not a side chick. We think it's actually the girlfriend, and that his other girlfriend, that they maybe have broken up. But just to be fair to Joe, I don't think he was like, it wasn't a cheating situation. We thought that yesterday, but it doesn't look like that's the case.
Yeah. And by the way, and I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure. Even if you spend money on security, it still feels pretty scary. I mean, I would just be scared to have two armed guards. If you have to hire two armed guards that be outside your house, you're by nature raising your anxiety level. Like, that can't be an easy situation.
And there was a cop, an off-duty cop who was there, because the NFL's trying to really keep an eye on this because of the amount of robberies. But, you know, listen, to Rob's point, you know, Joe Burrow, it's weird because he kind of keeps a low profile, but he kind of doesn't, right? Like, he's a mild-mannered guy, but he's pretty flashy with the outfits. He's going to fashion weeks all over the place. You know, he definitely knew the Hard Knocks cameras were rolling when he said he bought the Batmobile. You know, he's got some things about him that keep you talking, even though him personally, he seems like a pretty down-to-earth dude.
He does flash his wealth in your face. Even if he seems like the coolest guy. And I love Joe Burrow. I think I call him the Iceman, because I think he's the coolest dude since George Gervin. But, like, you flaunt all that stuff, and then you're like, my privacy. I see why fans would feel that way. I'm not saying I agree with everything Rob said, but I get that perspective.
Right. Because, you know, listen, he would just say, listen, I'm living my life. You know, going to a fashion show doesn't mean that I'm flaunting it, but the outfits have become a thing. That's for sure.
It's called humble bragging.
Yeah. Humble brag. I bought the Batmobile. Cost me $3 million. Coming up, more on Bill Belichick's stunning new job.